Welcome to Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Michelle Mishler. On April 16th, the World Economic Forum on Latin America kicks off in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. This year's theme, regional transformation in a new global context. Latin America is notable for its stability and innovative social, agriculture, and renewable energy achievements. Marisol Argueta, Senior Director at the World Economic Forum and Head of Latin America, spoke with us about the meeting and what and who to expect.
Latin America is notable for its stability and innovative social, agriculture, and renewable energy achievements, among many others. As such, the region is providing new models to address the future course of world affairs. In 2012, Mexico will chair the G20, and it has financial inclusion, food security, employment, green growth, ICT innovation, and transparency at the top of the agenda. In Brazil, the Rio Plus 20 summit will address sustainable development at the global level, and in Colombia, the sixth summit of the Americas will focus on the connectivity and regional cooperation as means to overcome the hemisphere's challenge. In this context, the World Economic Forum on Latin America will address the region's role and contribution to the governance of a global economy, the creation of innovative models for a sustainable future, and the improvement of capabilities for a regional transformation. Over the last year, we assessed the current situation in Latin America, both its great opportunities and outstanding challenges. Among the most crucial issues that were identified, I can mention the need to improve the quality of education, the beating social inequality, also addressing the problems of insecurity and drug trafficking, the need to modernize infrastructure, and also to apply modern technology in our society at every possible level. Our meeting in Puerto Vallarta, we have chosen three pillars. The first one is rebalancing a global economic recovery. Since from a global perspective, financial stability, economic growth, confidence building, and also leadership and coordination are central to the global discussions. We will also try to address questions on how can Mexico, as the chair of the G20, can attain political cohesion and collaborate in the global macroeconomics. And we will also focus in what is Latin America's role in rebalancing the deleveraging of the global economy, or how can Latin America contribute to the global economic recovery while simultaneously improving its resilience to growth deceleration. Latin America is well known for its stability and resilience, and I think we can provide good models as we have already overcome some crises in previous decades. The second pillar is raising capabilities towards regional transformation. While Latin America is vast and heterogeneous, many countries in the region, as we know, face challenges in transforming their economies. Competitiveness challenges include strengthening the institutional setup, large costs associated with insecurity, the need to modernize infrastructure, or the inefficient allocation of human resources and the lag in innovation compared to other emerging nations. We would like to answer some of the questions like how our region can address transformation through modernizing infrastructure and enhancing regional cooperation. How can we enhance our relations with Asia? How can we strengthen our democratic institutions? And how or which public and private partnership models could be appropriate for our successfully responding to the regional transformation needs? The third pillar is creating innovative models for a sustainable future. It's widely recognized that Latin America can boast many achievements in innovative agriculture and renewable energy projects, with other many achievements leading to sustainable development and poverty reduction policies. Therefore, we would like to respond to questions like how can the development of sustainable economies represent a source of job creation for the younger generations and offer significant projects for innovators and technology pioneers. We will also address how can risk assessment and management be improved through collaborative engagement across the region, and how can Latin America develop new models for a sustainable future. Our meeting will be co-chaired by His Royal Highness Crown Prince Haakon of Norway, by Sally Blount, the Dean of Kellogg School of Management of Northwestern University, Jeffrey Jors, who's the Chairman and CEO of Manpower Group, Martin Sen, who is the CEO of Zurich Financial Services, Daniel Servirje, who is the CEO of Bimbo from Mexico, and also from Mexico, Juan José Suárez Coppel, the CEO of Pemex, Petróleos Mexicanos. We have the confirmation from the heads of state of Mexico, Spain, Panama, the Dominican Republic, the Vice President of Peru, and all the heads of our regional organizations like the IADB, the OAS, CAF, CEPAL, and other international figures like the Secretary General of OECD, among many other international figures. We expect an attendance of approximately 750 people. 250 of these are YGLs. This is the first time that Latin America will be hosting the Global Summit of Young Global Leaders. The rest of the leaders we expect in Puerto Vallarta are from business, from government, from civil society, academics, and scientists. I think it's also worth mentioning that we will be having the leaders, the ministerial meeting of energy of Latin America at the second Sustainable Growth Summit. And that is structured also around mobility, resources, and energy. And there's also an important meeting of G20 ministers of trade and industry and anti-corruption officials that are both taking place immediately following the World Economic Forum in Latin America. Therefore, we expect some of them also to participate.
Now we turn to Miriam Schoening, Senior Director and in charge of the Schwab Foundation. This year, six social entrepreneurs will be awarded the Social Entrepreneur of the Year awards for their respective countries in Latin America. Schoening took some time to give us a sneak peek on what industries these entrepreneurs are active in and gave us her thoughts on where social entrepreneurs are needed most.
So this year, we actually have a record number of six social entrepreneurs that we are awarding from across Latin America. I can already say that we will have a Brazilian, we'll have a Chilean, we will have two from Central America, and we will also highlight a Mexican and a Venezuelan. We are particularly proud to see that this year we have several social entrepreneurs from the next generation, from the younger generation. So they're both part of the Schwab Foundation Social Entrepreneur of the Year Awards and will become members of the social entrepreneur community of the Schwab Foundation. But in addition, they're also part of a new community of the World Economic Forum called the Global Shapers, that are young entrepreneurial people between 20 and 30 years of age.
So, and I think we've seen in that particular group, there's quite a few people that are social entrepreneurs.
Yes, actually, it was amazing to hear in Davos that out of the 70 shapers that participated this year at the forum's annual meeting, 40% of them self-proclaimed that they were social entrepreneurs. So that really amazed us.
Now, in terms of this year's winners, what are you excited about? What are some of the things that they're doing? Can you give us a little sneak peek?
Yes, so they're actually working in very varied fields. We have some working on malnutrition issues, which might not sound very sexy, but actually malnutrition in children between 0 and 5 years of age is what determines how productive your future is, how healthy. So it is a crucial time to make an intervention with little amount of money and little effort that then has huge leverage later on in people's lives. So we're still looking for very good interventions in the field of malnutrition and have a fantastic social entrepreneur working in this area. Then, of course, the environment, increasingly also a big issue in Latin America, and seeing how can you have environmental sustainability programs that also serve the people. So here, again, interesting projects in the making. Finding employment opportunities for poorer population groups and in rural areas to also mitigate the migration to urban hubs is another one of our Central American winners' focus. Last, let me maybe also highlight some very interesting innovations in healthcare that we will be highlighting in Mexico and Puerto Vallarta during the award celebration.
Now, in Latin America, what is the social entrepreneur industry like? Is it varied throughout, or do you tend to see a theme from the countries?
In some countries, particular themes really prevail. So what we see, for example, in Brazil, which is the country where we always have the largest number of applicants, there we work with Folha do Sao Paulo, our partner, which always generates about 400 applications. And the largest number of them are in education. So education, maybe not surprisingly, because Latin America is lagging behind some global indicators in terms of education, is a very strong focus. We've seen fewer in the environmental space, so we're actually really looking with a fine comb for those social entrepreneurs working around climate change, deforestation, sustainability, sustainable consumption, etc.
Because that's actually, when you said Brazil, that's what I would have thought, that it was more environmentally focused.
Yes, exactly. So we're really having a hard time finding those Brazilians working in sustainability. I would say that it in general has a lot of social entrepreneurs in Latin America. We maybe don't necessarily yet see the scale that social enterprises achieve in countries such as India.
What is going to be the advantages for these people?
So the winners will become part of the Schwab Foundation network. We already have a community of 200 social entrepreneurs that are leading in their respective fields. It's an international community from around the world. They will participate at other World Economic Forum events, among them also the annual meetings in China, the summer Davos, as well as the Davos in Switzerland. We work with this group of leading social entrepreneurs to really advance the field of social innovation. Social entrepreneurs, for example, last year have developed a manual that really helps them guide through the increasing jungle of how do you access donations, investments, how do you raise equity or bonds from potential investors. Which is also a subject, for example, that we are now highlighting during the private events in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, where we will bring together a whole group of new social investors, or they've been termed impact investors as well, and bring them in touch with the 25 social entrepreneurs that will be attending the meeting.
Your collaboration with the Huffington Post. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, so we kicked off a collaboration with the Huffington Post earlier this year around the annual meeting in Davos to particularly highlight social entrepreneurs and innovative models from around the world. So we have a dedicated jointly branded website under the impact section of the Huffington Post focusing on social entrepreneurship and social innovation, where we feature social entrepreneurs from the Schwab Foundation community, but also others, of course, where we sort of talk about some of the current events and activities that are going on. And we're very excited to see this as also a big effort on part of the Huffington Post to get people excited about what exists out there and help understand what some of these models consist in and maybe take them to a different context and say, well, if you know X and Y can do it, why don't I start this in my area, in my country?
Is there kind of a field that you're not seeing enough? Is there kind of an industry that requires a little bit more of this? Is there a certain group of people that needs a little bit more help?
Yeah. Well, we certainly see that social entrepreneurship is not yet very developed in specific countries or areas. I think we should probably see a lot more in the Middle East, where you have severe issues around youth unemployment, which those youth might not find unemployment in traditional jobs, but they really need to become entrepreneurial, and a lot of it probably more in the social sector. We see and are looking closely at China, because I think this is a very entrepreneurial environment with increasingly social tensions that should provide a very fertile breeding ground for social entrepreneurs. So there's a little bit the lack in terms of regional focus. But in addition, what we also see is we're heartened by the current development around impact investors and more investors wanting to look at social enterprises. On the other hand, we see that there is a big gap precisely where social entrepreneurs need it the most. We have a social innovation global agenda council in the forum that just looked at this issue more closely and saw that social entrepreneurs typically need capital between $500,000 and $2 million. That's too small pocket change for most investors. They like to come in at larger ticket sizes. So we have this gap in terms of bringing social entrepreneurs really to scale, because they lack that financing in the middle ground. So that's another area where we're trying to help through our networks and by bringing investors and social entrepreneurs together to see how we can basically bridge that gap.
That's it for this week's edition of Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Shaw Mishler. Thanks for joining us.